All right. Are we there?
Yep.
All right. Elohim Tov, everybody.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. All right. I'm going to get my card, my single card that I got today. And I love getting cards, so I'm going to just read this so we can get started, because we have a very important message to get into. And this card is from Chris Burton. And wait a minute, it's not just Chris. Chris and Neil Bunton, and they're from England. And it's the dear Pastor Ben and Sandy, and all the brothers and sisters of Soldiers for Christ. We wrote to you a few weeks back to encourage you and thank you for your teaching and from the Lord. Neil and I came from a large family in the east of England, 100 miles north of London. We speak to our family and friends continually about the soon return of the Lord, but without much success. Well, they say yet, but we still continue to pray and believe. So could you also please pray for us for a breakthrough in the Lord? And we expect to hear that trumpet call any day to meet the Lord. Brothers and sisters. Okay, God is using you in a mighty way, and we pray the Lord will bless you and keep you safe till he comes, or whatever.
Amen.
All that stuff. You know, I'm not a good 18-year-old. Let's see, Chris Burton, 18-year-old, Rod. Oh, that's all the whole family. Is it Rod? Okay, praise God.
Pastor Sandy Sherry says she hope you don't move too quickly. You cut yourself on that suit, so sure.
Yeah, she's like, I look, somebody told a guy, he said, you look casket sharp today. I was like, ooh, I don't know if that's a compliment, but.
Wow. Casket sharp.
He wasn't talking to me, he was talking to this other guy, but he had on a red suit. You know, you got a red suit on, you do look casket sharp. So, okay, I have shocking news. I know that you guys won't believe this, because, but Joel Osteen and Kanye West are hooking up, and they're going to do ministry together.
No!
You shocked?
Yes!
That Joel Osteen would compromise himself like that?
No.
You shocked?
No.
I mean, he went to Lady Gaga, him and his wife went to the Lady Gaga concert last month to support the LBG, well, I don't know how many letters they got, not, but yeah. So,
really,
Joel? Yeah, Joel Osteen was at the Lady Gaga concert to help support the gay rights movement. So, and now he's going to hook up with Kanye West.
Oh my goodness.
Because they're both Christians.
Yeah, sure.
And is that right? That's big news, man. That's big news. He's like, I'm shocked. Joel Osteen, he's such a real Christian.
The one that wouldn't let people in his church during the critique.
Well, that's the least of his thing. He said it was too wet. But
yeah, raised him to do that.
My thing is the whole thing with him and the Pope, and then him with I could have like overlooked all the other things, but then when you go to Lady Gaga concert to help support gay rights and you're a pastor, it's like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, him and Kanye are going to hook up. So I know you. Yeah, I think it's this weekend. So get your tickets.
Tickets?
Well, you can't go to that for free, you know. All right, here we go. So here is the message here. When I was, is that music still on?
Yes, you're going to.
Okay. When I was thinking about becoming a Muslim, I was shocked and amazed that they had Jesus Day. Because I didn't think Muslims believed in Jesus. So I was very shocked when they said, we have an event called Jesus Saves, and we need you to hand out these flyers. and get people to come. And I said, wow, I didn't know we believed in Jesus. And they said, oh, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus more than Christians. And I went, wow, I didn't know that, right? And, you know, then I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness one day, and he started talking about Jesus and his death on the cross. And I was like, wow, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus. I went, there's not much difference between us then, right?
Which Jesus?
That's what you got to ask yourself. And that's what I'm trying to express to you today, okay? Believing in Jesus is one thing, but believing that Jesus is who he said he is something completely different.
Amen.
Like, if you don't believe who he said he is, you will die in your sins. That's what Jesus said, okay? So you can believe in a form of Jesus because Mormons believe in Jesus. Do not go and tell a Mormon, you guys don't believe in Jesus. They will tell you, we believe in Jesus. He was the brother of Satan. And he was the good brother, and Satan was the bad brother. And then they'll break it all down to you. And all you got to do is get married, and you'll get your own planet. And before you know it. So,
all right.
And if you talk to Jehovah's Witness, they'll say, yes, we believe in Jesus. He was the Archangel Michael, and God sent him here to suffer and die for us. And so you get this whole thing of all of these religions in the world believe in Jesus. Now, I know that Kanye West worships Lucifer, okay? His religion is Luciferian. He loves Lucifer. He loves Satan, okay? But my thing was, do Satanists believe in Jesus? And I found out they do. They just believe in him differently. It's the same thing. So when you hear a Freemason or someone talking about Jesus, they're not talking about the Jesus you're talking about, okay? So someone who joins the Freemasons can clearly talk, like Kenneth Copeland says, I love when I read in the Bible that God saying I am, because I say I am too. Because he believes that the same Christ spirit that was in Jesus is also in him. Because they don't believe that Jesus was God. They believe that Jesus was a man who, well, I'll read for you guys the story. So then you'll see what Satanists and Luciferians believe about Jesus, okay? Because they believe in him. So it's very easy for them to say Jesus is king because they have a reverence for him as a person, because they believe that, they believe that he ascended back up into the air before he died on the cross. So that's what Luciferians believe, okay? So this whole thing, I read the whole thing. I just picked out this very small part for you guys. And you, if you guys see the picture, you see the picture of their God? You see the picture of their God there? It's the picture of a snake choking a lion to death, right? So that's Satan's fantasy, right? Like, I'm going to defeat the lion. That lion going to chew your little worm up. You don't know who you're dealing with, right? But this is what they believe. Okay, now, you've got to understand this part. I'm going to go to this second part. So you, okay, this is their Bible. It is a King James Bible. All they did was that they put a Freemason symbol on the front, okay? But they believe, they read the Bible. Now, they believe the Bible's been tampered with, okay? And they believe that they tampered with the story of Jesus, and most Christians don't know the real story. You see the crown on top of the Freemason symbols and the cross right there? See, that's all Christian stuff. And the crown on top means that Jesus is king.
Wow.
So, wow, where did we hear that before, okay? So they believe in Jesus, okay, just like every other religion. Now, if I'm going to read to you what they believe, okay? And this is, after you get through with this, you are more than welcome to throw it in the trash and burn it, okay? Because I pulled up this thing, and this is what it said. I didn't know they believed in Jesus till I read this. The Messianic Moonday Thursday ritual of the chapter of the Rosicrucian state officially. We meet this day to commemorate the death of Jesus. So they have a day in the year that all these Luciferian believers get together to commemorate the death of Jesus. Did you know that? I didn't think they cared about Jesus, right? But they come together every year on the Thursday before Passover, before the death of Christ, to celebrate or to commemorate the death of Jesus. So I'm like, why would they be commemorating Jesus? You know, if he died, it has nothing to do with you. You don't believe in his death, burial, resurrection. But they commemorate his death, saying that, okay, he died in his body, but his spirit went back to heaven, and he never was in the body when he died. So therefore, when he came back as a king in heaven. Therefore, Jesus Christ is king. You understand? So, someone who worships Lucifer can still sit and talk to you about Jesus very easily. And I'll prove it to you. How many people heard of Kenneth Copeland? He's a 33 degree Mason, okay? Oral Roberts, 33 degree Mason. Benny Hinn, also a Mason. Remember Robert Shuler?
Yep.
He was a 33 degree Mason. Billy Graham was a 33 degree Mason, and Franklin Graham is a 33 degree Mason. Norman Vincent Peale was a 33 degree Mason, and that's who Trump says was his pastor. So that's kind of shaky there. Of course, T.D. Jakes is a 33 degree Mason. Pat Robinson is. Jimmy Swaggart, who is more foul than you guys know, but he's back on TV and you guys love him. But he is very foul, and he's a 33 degree Mason. Al Sharpton, I don't know why they put Al Sharpton's name. Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar. And these are only a few of the list that they found out have actually gone through the rituals and became 33 degree Masons. And they all have churches, and they all talk about Jesus, right? So what makes you think that they're talking about the same Jesus that you're talking about? They're talking about the Luciferian Jesus that allows them to become gods as well, okay? But see, I was always wondering, why do Freemasons open churches? Because they believe in Jesus. And the lie is, if I preach it, you'll believe it. You'll believe we're talking about the same Jesus, okay? There's a scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, okay? The scripture does not say, let your pastor work out your salvation with fear and trembling, okay? Because I am not responsible for your salvation. I'm responsible to preach the truth of the gospel, okay? You're responsible to study the word and stay in the word and be prayerful and be that way so that you can be a Berean when it comes to watching. Now, with this type of deception, all of us were fooled, okay? All of us were fooled. Because growing up, you thought if they're on TV, God must have put them in that position. But the truth of the matter is the organization put them in that position, okay? And so we're living in these days. Here, let's go to a scripture before I continue with this thing. Let me go ahead and finish this, and then I'll read this first. Okay, it says, but first, and I won't name the name that they call their God. We'll call it the Freemason God. It says the Freemason God created Eve. When he reflected on the matter, then he became a serpent spirit. And called himself Satan. Therefore, Eve really was created by the Freemason God. And it says, then the Freemason God's mother forced him to create Jesus as a spirit. This is their doctrine now, okay? Then Jesus' spirit united with his sister, Wisdom, and together they became the human Jesus at the baptism at the Jordan. So he didn't become the Christ until after baptism. Okay, this heresy of the Christ consciousness, you ever hear Oprah talking about that?
Yep.
She's a Luciferian, okay? This heresy of the Christ consciousness, which states that Jesus was a mere mortal who had no idea he was the Messiah, but at the baptism, when John baptized him at the Jordan River, Jesus consciousness entered, or the Christ consciousness entered Jesus, and suddenly he knew he was the Christ and began calling himself Jesus Christ. This is their doctrine now, okay? This is from Albert Pike's Moral Dogma and Ancient Scriptures, okay?
New Age.
People want to call it New Age, but it's Luciferian. It's satanic doctrine, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what it says. It says, when he got baptized, he knew he was Christ and began calling himself Jesus Christ. The coming Christ consciousness is the same consciousness that entered into Muhammad and Buddha and Jesus and all of the religious figures. Is the same Christ consciousness which he has, and only now is more advanced. Therefore, when the Antichrist comes, people will be convinced, it will be able to convince the whole world that the Christ consciousness is actually the one Messiah who actually entered into all of these other religious people. Mm. Now, if you go to Freemasons, this is what they teach about Jesus, okay? And it says, now Jesus, it gets crazier. It says, now Jesus had his Christ conscious spirit. He could begin his earthly ministry, but not until he got baptized. Then he got his consciousness. And it says, but suddenly, Albert Pike writes, it reveals that there is a conflict in heaven. The Freemason God, finding out that Jesus was destroying his empire, abolishing his worship, caused the Jews to hate Jesus and crucify him. Before which happened, Christ and wisdom ascended back to the celestial region. So Christ and wisdom left the body of Jesus on the cross. Okay? As the Greek God displays all human emotion and love and this and that, and it says, in fearing and trying to destroy the empire, and all of this stuff is crazy, right? That's what we need to say. This is crazy, but we have to understand this is their religion, okay? This is their religion.
That's crazy.
Okay? So when you have an artist that every song that he does is to worship Lucifer, and that's what his whole career was. Every song was to worship Lucifer, and now he says, oh, by the way, Jesus is king. Jesus is what king? What Jesus is king?
Right.
The Luciferian Jesus? What Jesus is king? Because if I read this whole thing, they consider Jesus to be one of the heroes of the spirit realm, okay? And so to them, when they say Jesus is king, and when they say when they say Jesus is the I am, and they say they are too, they're just talking about this Bible and this Freemason rites. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. Anybody can say, I believe in Jesus. Barack Obama did it. My Christian, first he slipped up and said, my Christian belief, right? Then Bush said, well, Jesus changed my life, but I'm also a 33 degree Mason and skull and bonesman, right? So what I'm trying to say is, look, anyone can say, I believe in Jesus. What did God advise us to do? He said, you will know them by what?
Their fruit.
I don't have to believe you. I don't even want you to tell me you're a Christian. I don't want to hear you're a Christian.
Right. Let me see it.
Okay? Let me see if you're a Christian. Let me see what you do, and I'll determine whether you're a Christian.
Right.
Because anybody can say it. Even Christ says this, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Okay? So there's a lot of people that can go around and say, Lord, Lord, and Lord Jesus, and Lord this, and Lord that. But he says, everybody that just says it doesn't go in.
Amen.
Okay? But them that do what? The will of the Father, right? And that the will of the Father is that you believe the testimony of Jesus and you come and you make Jesus your Lord and you come under his rulership and what his word says, you obey. OK, now I need us to go to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and we're going to be at, we're going to start at verse 18, okay? And it says, dear children, this is the last hour, okay? This is what I'm trying to tell you. There's a lot of deception coming because this is the last hour, okay? And people who you thought were sensible Christians that would never believe that foolishness, they believe the foolishness, okay? So you have to preach to people the absolute truth so that they don't fall into what you thought, well, that's just dumb. Nobody would ever believe that. Look how many Hebrew Israelites we have. And when in the beginning, what do we say? That's dumb. Nobody will believe that. And, okay, thank you. So here we go. Okay, and it says, little children, we know that this is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Okay, now, what is the Antichrist? It's against Christ, but it's also what? Instead of Christ or a pseudo Christ. I want everyone to remember that the Antichrist is not coming disguised as someone who's against Christ. He's coming as someone pretending to be Christ. Okay? And if we understand that and take off anti and put pseudo Christ, we need to know that an imposter is coming.
Amen.
Okay? You have an imposter in the church singing praise and worship right now. And everybody believes it. So please don't tell me that you're not going to believe the Antichrist when he comes. You've seen everything Kanye's done, and he's got wings on his back, and you're putting your hands up and praising him while he's on stage.
Man.
So please don't tell me that you won't be easily fooled.
Yeah.
But in your heart is what you are. And that's what the Lord really wants us to understand. If you have a heart that desires to sin, your greatest prayer needs to be, Lord, give me a heart. Change my heart. Give me a heart that wants to serve you. Change my heart. Because the hardest thing for God to do with a human being is to change their heart. He can get a confession. He can get them all to even come out of Egypt. Okay? But to get them to want to serve him is a tough job because it requires reciprocal love between two people. Not only God loving you, but you loving his word and you loving him for what he did for you. Okay,
yeah.
Let's finish reading this. I keep getting off. Okay. And it says, even now, many antichrists have come. This is how we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going shows that none of them belong to us. Okay? So stop getting upset that people are like, well, I'm going back in the world. I'm going back in the world. It shows that they didn't have a heart for God. Okay? It didn't have a heart for God. And some people say, oh, well, that's kind of harsh. Maybe they're just having. Look, if you want to sin, if you want to sin and it's in your heart, you're looking for an opportunity to sin. If you want to serve God and it's in your heart, you're going to be at the altar burning that stuff up. God gave us a prayer time here at church so that if you having problems in your life, you need to be at prayer. Yes. You don't bring your troubles to the service. You bring your troubles to the altar. You understand? I would rather a person who's having problems come to prayer and go home, because in prayer is where you're going to get your change. Okay. You've got to bring that stuff forward. You got to place it on the altar and let the word burn it up. Okay. That's what you do with sin. That's what they did with sin. They would bring their offering. They put it on the altar and God would consume it and burn it up. We bring it to the altar. We confess it. God consumes it and burns it up and begins to give us a new heart. And God wants you to have a new heart, but you have to be willing to want a new heart. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking from experience, you guys. I got saved in 79. I didn't get it right till, what year we meet, babe? 1993. I had spurts. I said from 79 to 93, I had some Christian spurts. You know what I mean? Got excited for a while. Met a girl, she's a Christian, so I'm going to be a real Christian, you know, stuff like that. But to really want to serve God, like, I would rather sleep in the street on the curb than sin and raise my hand and praise God. For me to get to that mentality took some growth, okay? So you have to get to the point where you love God.
Amen.
All right. So it says, now, it says, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is an antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whosoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. See that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised, eternal life. Now listen, God, when you came to Christ, you came to Christ repenting of your old life to come into Christ. Okay? You did not come to Christ to say, I just want to be saved and continue sinning. You did not come into Christ like that. We know that the scripture says, confess your sins, believe the word, then confess Christ. But Christ's first message to us was to do what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first thing you do before you accept Christ is what?
Repent.
I can't come to Christ and say, be my savior. I haven't repented yet.
Right.
Okay. Now, once you repented and you've accepted Christ, now you have a journey. The same person that just came to Christ and asked Christ to come into their life, be their Lord and Savior. Now God says to them, after he accepts, he says, now work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, okay, you're good from here. Just go back to sin and you'll be fine.
Mm.
Even Christ told her, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing should come upon you, right?
Right.
So I'm going to read this. Let's go backwards to 1 John. You're still in 1 John in chapter 1. Okay. And it says this. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare it to you. God is light, and there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Listen to what this chapter 6 says. If we claim, what is a claim? It can be true or not. The truth about what you claim is what you do, right? If we claim that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have a fellowship with one another, meaning God with you, right? And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, okay? So now you're a Christian and you claim, and you like, let's just say something stupid. Like, I robbed a bank, but I didn't sin. I mean, it's like stupid, right? You know you sinned, even if it's a small sin, you know you sinned, right? But you're going to look at God and go, and God's like, okay, I'm waiting for your confession of sin, because you now you know. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That's how you know you sinned, okay? So now I'm waiting for your confession. And you go, it wasn't sin. So now you're calling God a liar, because that's what the scripture just said, right? If you say that you have not sinned, you call God a liar, okay? Because God is waiting for the confession. Because without a confession, you can't put it on the altar and it can't burn up and you can't change. Amen. So the confession is very important. Yes. So if I'm going to be an antichrist in this world, I got to teach you the opposite of God. Mm. When you sin, you don't have to confess it. Just continue living your life because you got saved when you were 8.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Once saved, you're always saved. And now there are people all online saying, Pastor Sandy's crazy. He's the worst pastor. He's telling people that they actually have to live for God to go to heaven.
Well, shame on you, Pastor.
Shame on me. God. If you're lukewarm, you still get to go to heaven. Mm. Now, if I preach that, let me tell you, I'd have more people.
Yeah, you wouldn't have us.
I'd have more people. You guys would leave.
Yeah, we'd be gone.
Y'all be like, you hear what Pastor Sandy said? Sound like Joel Osteen up here. I'm finding a new church, right? But I'd have a lot of people, because a lie is always more attractive to the heart that wants to sin. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, someone says, see, well, he's not talking to Christians there. He's talking to non-believers. Let's read the beginning of chapter 2. It says, my dear children, who's he talking to?
Children,
I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. Okay? So we know that we have come to him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. He's talking to Christians now. So I'm going to come to Christ and just keep doing. I'm just, where you been? I've been in the club. I'm a little drunk, but leave me alone. I haven't sinned. That's how they're preaching to Christians that you can live like this and still go to heaven. If you're lukewarm, you're still going in the rapture. If you all this stuff. And we think, or I think, God, nobody will believe that. That's crazy. If somebody taught that to you, even if I was at the worst sinning time in my life, if somebody told me, hey, man, just keep sinning. Don't worry. You got saved when you were 8. Mm-hmm. I would call them crazy.
Yep.
I would say, you don't like me, do you? Because you're trying to set me up, right? Uh-huh. But they're believing it, okay? And we can't help them, okay? Because the heart has to change.
Amen.
All right. We're going to get to this message now.
Ooh. There you go.
Revelation chapter 6, I believe it is. Okay. Now watch this, because the Lord wants us to really understand what's going on here. You know, the ten virgins, only five went into the wedding feast. The other five also were waiting there for Jesus, right? They were waiting, like, we're all waiting for Jesus. Only problem is they weren't prepared, right? The other wise five, they were prepared. And so they got worried and they said, hey, the bridegroom is coming. And the ones that weren't prepared were like, hey, give us some of your oil. Our oil is running out. And they was like, uh-uh. You know what I mean? Because if we run out, then we're not prepared. So you need to go and buy some for yourself. And it says, while they were gone, the bridegroom came. So the problem was not that they didn't know Jesus. The problem was they weren't prepared. Okay? They were lukewarm in their attitude and in their lifestyle. They were lukewarm. And so therefore, he came and he took who was ready and he left. And they came back to the door and they knocked and they said, Lord, let us in, let us in. And he said, away from me. I don't know you. Okay? So you have to understand, knowing who Christ is one thing, being prepared is the other. Being prepared is not hard. All you have to do is stay in relationship. How do you stay in relationship? If I sin, I'm going to come to you. Pastor Ben, I know you just shined your shoes. I'm really sorry. I stepped on them. Bad scuff. I really want to apologize. I'm not going to step on his shoe, leave a scuff, walk by and walk back over here like nothing happened. He's looking at me waiting for what? Apology. That's what God's like. Okay, I know what you did. You like walk back in the house like, God like, I know where you've been. I know what you did. Hit the knees. I need the tongues to move, right? And you're like, yeah, and you go to sleep. So now when you know what you just did, you just put your fingers in your ears and you said, I don't want to hear it. You quench the spirit. Now, if you continue doing that, it becomes easier and easier to sin without confessing. It becomes very easy, okay? To the point where you're no longer in relationship, because when you curse somebody out, it's just the way I felt. It's not that I'm not a Christian. You know, I know the scripture says, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth, but that wasn't really, those are the small words. I didn't use the big words. And you're sitting here trying to convince your brain that you didn't sin. And God's like, I need a confession. Okay? This is how we stay in relationship. Okay? Nothing's changed, even since the early days of God. When they sinned, they had to get an animal and take it to the altar. And you know what I mean? You couldn't sin and say, I only got three lambs left. I ain't going. It wasn't really a sin. I need my, you know, you obey the word. You get that lamb and you get to the altar, right? You obey the word. You get to your knees and you confess. And you stay in relationship. And he say he is just and he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of unrighteousness. And this will bring you back into relationship, or this will keep the relationship going. It's a great plan, right? If we sin once and it was like, okay, anybody sin once, you're done. We'd be in a jacked up relationship, right? Because nobody would survive.
Nobody.
But because we have this situation where we can come to Christ and confess and bring it to the altar, we have a great relationship that can be maintained under the blood of Jesus, which continually cleanses us as we are working out our salvation.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
You in Revelation chapter 6? Okay. Now it says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures saying in a loud voice, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. That person on that white horse with that bow, which is Tekiah, being sent forth, a covenant being sent forth and started at that time, this person on this white horse is not Jesus.
Amen.
this person on this white horse is the Antichrist, and it says he's bent on conquest. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
He is determined to now go forth and subdue the nations under his power. That is the first seal that is open. We're already in heaven when the seal is open. We're already in heaven. People are right now, this would be the beginning of the tribulation, okay? If somebody is telling you that you can continue to sin, you can bet one thing, you're going to see the tribulation.
Yeah.
If you say, I can continue in sin and still belong to Christ and still not confess, you're going to see the tribulation.
Amen.
Okay? So you need to know that.
Amen.
Listen to this.
Pastor, is that bow like a bow and arrow? Because some preachers preach that.
That's bow like a tekiya. It means birthing forth, bringing forth something, a covenant, right? He's not just coming with a bow and arrow. And anyway, the first mention of the scripture says that it's a covenant. He put a bow in the sky, so the first mention governs the rest of the scripture. It is a covenant, okay? So he's coming forth with a covenant, birthing it forward. Now he's going to subdue the nations under him, okay? Now, we don't really understand the tribulation because God, as scary as Revelation is, you haven't been told a half of it. Okay? You haven't been told a half. Ain't nobody, he ain't really talk about what the Nephilim gonna do to you.
Ooh.
He hasn't really talked about how bad they're gonna treat human beings. He hasn't talked about all of this. But all of this is coming upon this world, and it's coming upon this world because what? They refuse to believe the truth. And even once they receive the truth, they allow someone to come into their life and lie to them and tell them, you're okay. You can continue that way. You're okay. The guy that I sent that video out, the guy that almost died, doing cocaine and almost died. When he came back to life, he said, I had always been preached to once saved, always saved. He said, when I died, I went straight to hell. And he said, if it wasn't for God pulling me out and me screaming, he said, I went straight into hell. I didn't go into a white door. I didn't go see God. I went straight to hell. He said, when they brought me back, I knew hell existed. And he said, from that moment on, I knew once saved, always saved was not true.
Yep.
But see, if I tell you the truth, we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We get 10 members. If I lie to you and I say the Lord's got a blessing for somebody today.
Mm.
Yes, he does. Somebody going to be a millionaire. But you're going to have to learn how to give. Sow a seed, right? If I did that, we'd be jumping, right? We can invite Kanye.
Yeah. Yeah. You have enough to pay him.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, okay. I want you to go over to chapter 7, okay? I want you to go over to chapter 7. It became a lottery system. The whole giving thing during my young days became a lottery system in the church. You had to gamble big to get big.
Yep. That's it.
All right, here we go. Okay, here it is. Check this out. It says in verse 9, it says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, of every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out to the Lord, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Who are all these people that are in white of every nation, huh?
Tribulation saints.
These are people who came out of the tribulation because we're going to continue reading this. That means it's a lot of people. They said nobody could count them. I want to ask you this. If they knew Christ and they're so on fire for Christ that right now they're willing to die for him and be beheaded for him, why couldn't they live for him before the rapture? What are they doing in the tribulation? If you have the heart to say, I would die for Jesus before I not confess his name. In the tribulation, you're going to have that type of boldness. But right now, when it's easy, you can't even live for him. You can't put down a drink for him. You can't stop lying for him. You can't stop cursing for him. You can't stop fornicating for him. But you believe in Jesus and you're a Christian. But in the tribulation, now it's a life or death situation, because now you know what you realize.
Yeah.
Where did these Nephilim come from? Mm. And why are they treating people that bad? And why are they putting people in concentration camps? And now it's going to be like, oh my goodness, God is real. It'd be better to die than to die with the mark, because it says that we'll immediately go to hell. So let me just go ahead and die for Christ. You don't have to get to heaven like that.
Amen.
You don't have to do that. The warning is this. Look at this. 2019, you're on the 119th year of a 120-year prophecy. I'm the only one going to tell you that. Okay? I don't know who else is going to tell you that. I hope everybody catches on, and I hope Dan Mattson does a whole math thing. He'll do it sooner or later, soon as this little season is over. But I'm telling you right now, we're on an end of a journey, because the fig tree has already been born, and the fig tree got born in the Lodor HaAcharon in the last generation. Listen to this as we continue going down. Okay, it says this. It says, salvation belongs to our God. They're happy to be in heaven, even they're in white robes. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? Why is he asking that question? Because the church is already there.
Right.
Who are these people? We already welcomed the bride in. Who are these people? He says this. He says, who are these people and where did they come from? He said, I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne to serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Wait a minute.
Again.
Wait a minute. The rapture says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day of the rapture. Eating and drinking, these people are hungry.
Right.
Listen, this is a whole different group of people.
Yep.
We left eating, drinking, and marrying. Days going on as normal. These people left like this. And he says, spread his tent out. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. They saw people die like that. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those who came out of the great tribulation. But you know what is the good news is? You don't have to go through it.
Amen.
If you sin, you can confess your sin today. Or you can listen to the new gospel that says, sin as much as you want because you got saved when you were 12. Just enjoy your sin life because you're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Grace means you didn't do anything to get it.
Right.
Okay? If I give you a free car, it is free. It is up to you to put gas in it. Yep. It's up to you to change the oil. Right. It's up to you. It's up to you to not drive it to Watts and just leave it there running. Right? Because if it gets stolen, that's not my fault. Right. I gave it to you for free. It's your job to take care of it. That's why he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Take care of your salvation. Here's a beautiful gift. Take care of it.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
That's it. Good.
Take care of it. I'm taking care of my salvation.
Amen.
I love the fact that I'm saved. I can't even believe that I'm still saved. You know what I mean? 1979, and it is 2019, and I still love Jesus. Yeah. The same 17-year-old kid with four braids in his hair walking up to an altar looking crazy.
Four braids.
One here, one there. Take it out and fluff it out the afro. Just pat it. It was beautiful. And now, here we are years later, and I love Jesus more than the day I walked forward.
Amen.
I understand him more than the day I walked forward. That means the Holy Spirit can keep you.
Yes.
if you want to be kept.
Amen.
If you want to be kept, he can keep you. Even when I met my wife, I knew my life was still not ready. I had to ask God to change my heart. Because I knew I would be no good for her with the heart that I have. Because even though I knew Jesus, I wasn't serving him.
Mm-hmm.
And God changed my heart. And then I went into an agreement. I said, now I'm going to stop sinning. Okay? Because God told me, if you stop sinning, I can bless you. I said, really? Is it that easy? And he did it. We will never buy our kids a new bike while they're throwing rocks in windows. Ooh. And bringing home F's.
Amen.
We will never do it.
Amen.
You will send him to his room, spank him, tell him to get it together, right?
Right.
But we expect God, while I'm sinning, keep blessing me. You bless me in my mess.
Oh, my goodness.
No, that's not a good testimony.
That is not a good one.
You bless me when I repented of my mess.
Yeah. Amen.
He'll take care of you. I mean, he's like, okay, you just jacked up. You don't know no better. You dumb, right? I'm talking about me, right? You just dumb. You just dumb. Every time you see a girl, that's my wife. That's my girlfriend. You're just young and you dumb. So I'm going to take care of you
right. Until
you get some sense, right?
Right.
But he wasn't blessing me.
Right.
I was struggling while he was trying to tell me, repent. Get away from that. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't go there. But I didn't have a heart to live for God.
Right.
Okay? Ask God for a heart to live for him. Okay? It's the hardest thing that a human can have. Okay? Because nobody likes to be ruled over. None of us really want a Lord. We love a Savior.
Right.
But none of us really want a Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we fight against it every day. We feel we have the right to say what we want to say. We feel we have the right to do what we want to do, and that God should understand. And why should I not do that when everybody else is doing it and they're having fun? And when I come to the decision where I need to sin or I cannot sin, it's not me, it's just my flesh, and that's what I feel like doing. So you never say no to sin. And you're never getting blessed because you're cursing yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Who wants to go through the tribulation? Nobody. And for people that, someone tell me, I think I want to go through the tribulation so I can help people get saved, Pastor Sandy. I said, well, that's very admirable of you, brother. You go right ahead. I'm not going to be with you, though. Yeah, Pastor Sandy ain't hanging out with you.
Mm-mm. You are all on your own.
Yes.
You know, Pastor Sandy, granted, it is easier to, you know, have your life in the Lord now.
Yes.
So you can, you know, when he comes to the rapture, you get caught up and go with him then.
Right.
Well, what's beautiful in Revelation chapter 7 from the verse 9 through 17, is that the ones that don't make it to the rapture and do make that
decision. After in the tribulation.
Okay, in the tribulation, okay, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You can't really grant them because, you know what, at least they still made that choice and that decision not to get that mark of the devil and follow Jesus. Still, wait, and not.
Yeah,
they can't hear of that.
Uh-huh. Okay, but this is what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. See, that's the big problem. Listen to what I'm saying. How dumb is it to say, well, it's good you still made it in when you didn't have to go through that? I don't have to go to prison to learn how to be a good person.
Right.
It's good I went to prison so I can learn how to be a good person. I've been to prison. Right. I didn't have to go to prison to become. I could have got my life together before I went.
Yeah.
God's saying, don't be dumb. You don't have to go through this.
Amen.
To be saved.
That's right.
And that's all he's saying. That's all we have to say. That's it. You don't have to do that. Be smart now.
Amen.
Because you don't understand tribulation.
Right.
You think you understand hell, but you don't.
Amen.
You think that, oh, I'll just be down there and, you know, we'll be walking around, but God won't be there. You're going to be separated from God forever. That's what they tell people. Mm. No, you're going to be in torment and in great pain forever.
Torment.
That's the truth.
Right. In darkness.
Don't say, oh, I'm just going to be separated, because people don't get the right perception of what's really going on. The man that went to hell said, I am in great torment.
Yes.
And so people want me to say nice things so that they can feel good about coming to church.
Right.
No, live right.
Right.
Praise God. That's
Amen.
It.
Go pray for your pastor.
Yes, let's pray for our people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we just pray, Father God, for each and every person, Father God, that's listening by YouTube, Father God, our whole family all over the world, that you would give them a heart to live for you, Father God, and to love your son, Jesus Christ, for what he did. And to show, Father God, that we are a worthy bride. You said, make sure that we are worthy in that day, that we can stand before the Son of God. And that being worthy means staying in relationship, staying repentant, staying in love with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Good word, Pastor. Good word.
Hallelujah.
Amen.